Okay, we're in Sefer Aleph Shoah. We're in the second section, and we're talking about mitzvahs. Zehu tiv'a u'metziuta shel kol mitzvah, lahavi lidei yira. This is the goal and the nature, the essence of every mitzvah, to bring us to a state where we have yirat Hashem. And every mitzvah has their own way, and their own aspect. There are some mitzvahs like tefillin, like tefillah, like davening, which the goal is to have covered rosh. You have a sense of like understanding that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trembling before Him. Then you have tefillin, which the element of yira it gives is more yirat shamayim, humility. Then you have Shabbos, which it holds a person back from doing averus, just by the awareness that you're in a time zone of Shabbos. And also a Talmud by his rabbi, also holds a person back from doing averus. And then you have shofar, which causes a sense of trembling. Like we talk about thunder. The Gemara says that the thunder is in order to make us aware there's something much bigger and greater out there than just our small life. Ve'im zot hi metziuta shel mitzvah, harei shechayvim legeshet al kol mitzvah beyirat mitzvah. And since that is the goal of the mitzvah, we have to enter a mindset when we come to do the mitzvah with that in mind. The Pasuk says, Et Hashem Elokecha tira. You have to fear God. U'mizeh ha'mikra lamadnu shira adam b'giyor ha'dvar mitzvah. And the Sefer Yireim on that Pasuk says that here we learn that there's not only an action of a mitzvah, but there's a mindset of a mitzvah that you have to enter, which is coming to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebemachshevet alei v'yira dechtiv v'yareitam elokecha gudola hi mitzvot ha'yira shere adam yachol lekayma elef pamim b'yom shekol sha'a v'rega shu zocher et ha'mitzvah v'chared libo aleihem kayem et Hashem elokecha tira. This is an amazing thing. We're going to speak about it more in the next section. There are some mitzvahs which are action-based. You can only do them as much as they do them. Like if you've shaken a lot of an esrog, once you've shaken it, you've finished. You could shake it again, but you don't get more of a mitzvah. Maybe there's a chavivus of a mitzvah to show that you still want to hold on to it. But it's not the same level of doing another mitzvah. However, there are some mitzvahs of mitzvahs of the heart. And we're going to speak about those in the next section. Mitzvahs of the heart, there is no limit. You can fulfill the mitzvah of the heart endlessly, again and again. The more you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you're fulfilling that mitzvah. So the mitzvah of Yirat Hashem, the Sefer Yireim says, the more a person is having awareness that he's standing before Hashem, and any action that he does, let's say for example you're having a conversation with someone, and in that conversation you're aware to speak in a respectful way. And you keep guard of yourself to speak in a respectful way. And the reason why you do that is because you're aware that there's Torah and there's mitzvahs, and that God runs the world, and that you want to be careful to be within God's world, and therefore you're careful not to step over any halachic boundaries. So having that awareness, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem Elokecha Tira, just there. In any interaction that you have, by having a God awareness and being careful, being sure that you're not doing anything. It scares me that you're so close and there's no partition. I'm going to put this back on again. No, stay there. I'll just put the partition. It's fine. You're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. A mitzvah d'oraisa of Hashem Elokecha Tira, by doing any other action, but pausing and recognizing that what I'm doing is before Hashem, and that brings me to a state where I'm careful about what I do because I want to be within God's world. That's an extra mitzvah that one has. It's a mitzvah of the heart. But it's a mitzvah that from the heart affects your actions, how you will relate to the mitzvah and how you will relate to other people. It's a mitzvah d'oraita that you have. In any moment, you can fulfill that mitzvah. That's the end of the Sefer Yireim. Harei mitzvat yirat Hashem mekaimim b'chardat alev ela mitzvahs. Whichever mitzvah you come to fulfill, the mindset, the attitude that you have towards it is an additional mitzvah. An additional mitzvah. There's one mitzvah of doing the mitzvah, and there's an additional mitzvah of the mindset that you have when you do the mitzvah. By having Yirat Shamayim towards it, that's an additional mitzvah that you get. For Eitabit, meaning you could think that it's a way of fulfilling the mitzvah, but it's not an additional mitzvah. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an extra pasuk of Et Hashem Elokecha Tira, and that's one of the 613 mitzvahs of Yirat Hashem. It's an additional mitzvah. So you get two for the price of one. You do the mitzvah, and if you do it with the right mindset, you also get a mitzvah of Yirat Hashem, which it develops in your heart as you continue to do the mitzvah. It says in the Tikkun Zohar, Torah u'mitzvah belo dechilu rochimu lo yachilis lesalka ulemekam kadam Hashem. That's a scary phrase. Any Torah that's learned, or a mitzvah that's done, without a sense of awe, and love, I mean, you don't have the right mindset of who you're doing it before, that mitzvah is not able to come up and stand before Hashem. Because, like we spoke about the example a few days ago about the husband and wife relationship, it's not about the giving of the flowers. It's about what the flowers represent. So if you would give the flowers with a sour face, and then it would be like, there you go, you ask for them, there it is. It misses the entire purpose. The entire purpose of mitzvahs is not that having done the mitzvah. God doesn't need mitzvot to be done. And therefore he made us to do the mitzvot as an independent. Rather, he gave us mitzvahs in order to have a way, a medium, through which we can connect to him. I think I gave this example once before, but I'll say it again. When a couple get married, and they have a great desire to connect, but they don't always have what to talk about. They're from totally different worlds. What interests him doesn't interest her. What interests her doesn't interest him. So they don't have what to talk about, but they want to connect. They want to have a find a way to like form their bond and create a stronger bond. So what do? So they take something external, like a story they read in a magazine, for example, and they read that story, and they discuss the story. Now the story, a little bit interests him, a little bit interests her. It's not really about the story. Right? They didn't get married to read that story together. That wasn't the purpose of their union. But they used the story as a medium through which now that we can talk and we can share ideas and we can say what's your opinion, what's my opinion, we can share it, then they're able to get to what they're really looking for, which is to form a bond, to form a closeness. I'll tell you a story. It happened to me today. My son is in yeshiva and he goes away for like 2.5 weeks at a time. And he was back now for a couple of days and he's going away again. And it's really important to me to have a bond with him. It's because he goes away for 2.5 weeks and I don't see him. Now we talk on the phone a little bit, but not significant talking. Just like, how are you? How's everything going? Wish you a good Shabbos. On the phone, we don't have like important conversations when he's away. So it was really important to me today during the break to do something of value together. So he got out his chessboard and we had a game of chess, which I always debate if it's a good thing because then someone wins and someone loses and it becomes a competition. So I'm not sure if it's a good thing. I'm not sure if it's a good thing. It's good when he wins. Then it's great because then it really builds the steam and he's getting there. So with time, it'll get better and better. But I'm not sure if it's a good thing of like, I want to show you I love you. Let me beat you in chess. was that the ideal thing to do? But for me, the goal is not the game. It's not at all the game. It's a medium through which I can spend time with my son. Because my goal is to build a relationship with my son. I need some medium. So the medium I have with my wife is Mishpacha magazine. She reads stories, I read stories, we discuss the stories. That's the medium that we have through which we can bond. The medium I have with my kids is playing games. The game is not important to me. The Mishpacha magazine is not important to me. But it's important to me that I need some medium through which we can now bond. It's a little bit like if you have one piece of paper and another piece of paper, you're sticking together, so you need glue. Right? It's not about the glue. The glue is not the end goal. But I need these to be together. So I need some glue to put them together. So I need some medium. So mitzvahs are the medium. The mitzvahs is not the end goal. God doesn't need the mitzvahs. But he needs to give us a way, a medium, through which we can express our heart's love for Hashem. We need to be doing some action by which we can express that love. So he gives us actions. And he says, here you go, do this mitzvah, do that mitzvah, learn my Torah, my wisdom. And if we do it in a way where we're expressing the goal of this is to form love, then it will create the love. And if we do it in a way of, this is a burden, when do I have to finish with this already and let me get rid of it, then it didn't achieve its goal. So you understand what the Zohar was saying? That a Torah or mitzvahs which are done without an awe or a desire to feel love, they won't come and stand before Hashem. Because it wasn't about learning Torah and it wasn't about doing mitzvahs. It was about having a medium through which to come close to Hashem. So someone will ask you, like, what's the most important thing in Yiddishkeit? And the answer is, learning Torah. It's not correct. Learning Torah is a medium to come close to Hashem. Learning Torah may be the most important medium. It's the most important derech. The way that we get to come close to Hashem. But it's the glue. It's the point, the way you connect. But it's not the end goal. The end goal is the relationship. Kula gadola matzinu b'ikarim l'rav elbozal ha-mevo'er perush v'atahash Yisrael ma'ashem l'kech Hashem imach kim l'yirao so v'chule l'shmo kol mitzvot Hashem וכי משה היה אומר לישראל, גודל הפלגת חסדי השם, וכי מן הדין היה ראוי אל האדם לראה את השם לקחה ולכת ברכה ולאהבה אותו ועובדו בכל לב וכל נפש, הקל עליו השם יסברך, כי תחס כל זה שציווהו לשמור חוקות השם ומצוותיו בלבד. ובזה תושג ומדרגוס תכונה המגעס לו מצד העבודה בכל לב וכל נפש. So there's a Sefer Ikarim, Shar Gimel, where Rav Elbo makes life a lot easier for us. The Torah says that you have to fear God, love God, follow in His ways, and serve Him with all your soul. And it's a big list of very lofty things. The Sefer Yechayim writes that God, recognizing our capabilities, wanted to make it easy for us to have access to all these great lofty things. So He says, it's enough just to keep the mitzvot. Keep the mitzvot. Obviously, keep the mitzvot with all this in mind. But to jump straight to loving God, fearing God, following God's ways, serving Him with all of your heart and all of your soul, like, where do I begin? Where do I start? What do I do? It's too overwhelming. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it baby steps, tangible, relatable for us to be able to fulfill that. So, says the Sefer Yechayim, that's why I just said, keep the mitzvot. V'im ki kanere ein halacha kamoto. We don't paskin like that you don't have an obligation to work on loving Hashem and work on following His ways. We do say that you have an obligation of the heart mitzvot as well. But v'daya chayavim lishtadel al kol mitzvot alev, yira v'ava v'alicha b'derachav. And in fact, an entire section of Chovos HaLevavos was written, a whole book, Chovos HaLevavos was written on all the mitzvot of the heart, not the mitzvot of the body, Chovot HaEvarim, but Chovot HaLevavot, the obligations of the soul. Chovos HaLevavot, there's a whole book on that topic. Harei nifla b'chidusho shel ha'Baal HaYikar. Nevertheless, it's a big chidush. Ki al yedei ha'mitzvot ha'masiyot levad efshar la'agi al yedei shleimut. It's coming to teach us that a tangible way to get there, through the action. Yes, it's true, we're trying to connect to the soul. But just like we gave the example just a moment ago with the chess and with the magazine, where the goal is the heart, the goal is the relationship, but we need something very down to earth and very tangible. And that was the chiddush that the Baal HaYikarim came and said, that just through doing tangible actions, you can reach it. Ki yare mitzvah hu yishulam. Because as long as you have the right attitude towards the mitzvah, that's what will perfect you. It's about the mindset that you have in the relationship, the honor that you give towards the process of doing the mitzvah. And if you actively do that, if you make a conscious decision to do mitzvot with a careful recognition that I'm doing this for God, that I'm standing before God, that I'm connecting to God and fulfilling God's will, that's the mindset that you go in when you come, I mean, especially davening, especially imagine you say Baruch Hu, and you have a recognition that God, I'm talking to you, and Hashem, you've given me the obligation to serve you and to bless you. And there's two ways of what blessing means. According to the one way, when you say Baruch Hu, your mindset is, I recognize Hashem that all the blessing we have in this world is from you, Hashem. And you bow down as you say Baruch Hu, as if you're submitting yourself and saying, it's not me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize all the blessing that exists in the world all emanates from you. That's one interpretation of what Baruch Hu means. Another interpretation, which the Nefesh HaChaim writes, and the Chai Adam brings the Halacha, is that you're actually blessing Hashem. Hashem made the world not complete and made the Jews obligated to give a blessing to God. God made Himself, I don't know what this means exactly, but God made Himself in a way lacking, and He gave us the obligation to fulfill that lack in the same way as the Bris Milah. He made our body incomplete, and He gave us the obligation to finish the job. So too spiritually, God didn't reveal Himself fully in the world. He made Himself slightly concealed, a little out of reach. And He gave the Jews the obligation to finish the job, to complete His being revealed in the world. And when we say Baruch Hu, we're actually giving God a blessing. What is a blessing? A blessing is where you say that something which you have within you, but it's not yet expressed, may it be expressed. I give you a blessing that you should have children. You have the power to have children, but you haven't had children yet. You have a blessing you should get married. You have the power to get married, you haven't got married yet. In Hebrew, the phrase is, Lotzi min hakoach el hapoal, to bring from potential into actuality, to bring it out. So when you give God a blessing, God has made Himself not fully revealed. And He gave us, the Jewish people, the mission, the goal, the purpose, the vision, that we can do that final completion and bring Him into the world. So you're standing at Baruch Hu, and recognize what you're doing. You're bowing down to God, and on the one hand you're saying, Hashem, I recognize everything emanates from You. And at the same time you're saying, Hashem, I know You've given me a great mission. You've given me, as a member of the Jewish nation, a mission to declare Your name in the world and fulfill the recognition of You in the world, and I'm giving You a blessing. When you have that recognition, what awe do you have standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You come to say Baruch Hu, and then you go on from there to say Kriyat Shema, and on from there to stand before God in Shmona Esrei. Someone with that recognition, he has Yerei Mitzvah. He has a recognition, I'm doing something very powerful, very meaningful. I've been appointed. I've been appointed by God to declare His name in the world. And what's more important than the technical action of the mitzvah, which you could do even without depth of thought, is the understanding of what ma'amad, what status you're in, of standing before God in that way. And that's the goal. That's the Yira Mitzvah that we're aiming towards. Share Yira Kshura B'Maaseh. Because when we speak about Yira and it's just lofty, it's just disconnected, it's very hard to bring it down, to make it real. But when it's connected to some action, it's much easier to awaken it and say, like I just gave the example now of saying Baruch Hu. So it wasn't hard to explain what it means to have Yirat Hashem. Because we can all understand that you say the word Baruch Hu and you bow down when you say the word Baruch Hu, and at that moment these are the thoughts you should have. Because we connected an idea to an action. So it was grounded and it was easy. But however, if you just speak about being like this in general, broadly, always, it's very hard because there's nothing to pull down, nothing you're connected to. So our goal is always to find ways to connect ideas to actions, to make them grounded. That we can take the big philosophy that we have behind everything that we believe in and see how when we put on tefillin what it represents, and when we're saying Baruch what it represents. And that way the ideas are not just disconnected, esoteric ideas, but they're actually relevant to my life. In my action, I'm fulfilling them. That's the avoda of mitzvot. It's not so much about the action, although it is about the action as well. But it's not just about the action, that's only level number one. That's the body of the mitzvah. But there's also the soul of the mitzvah. And the soul, the neshama of the mitzvah, is the yirei mitzvah. To be careful to do everything properly, not to do it in kalos rosh, not to do it with the external, but rather to be in the mindset that what I'm doing is before God. I'm fulfilling my mission as a Jew to fulfill God's will, to bring more awareness of God into the world by my recognition through this action of Hashem in His presence in the world. That's the end of that chapter. There's one more chapter here before we're going to summarize the whole section. In Alei Shor now, we're in units, if you like. So we're doing a few chapters on one topic and another few chapters on another topic. And that way we get a much more thorough understanding of any given topic. So we're still in the unit of mitzvot, but we move now on to heart-orientated mitzvot. And there's a special area of mitzvot which are all based on the heart. Having emunah in Hashem, having yira that we just spoke about, having love of Hashem, following in Hashem's ways, and dveikus with Hashem. Now someone who's never looked into this topic, they would just say, to be a good Jew, and be a good Jew, and be a good Jew, and be a good Jew. That's basically what it'd say. Like, what actually are we saying here more deeply than that, right? Well, is there a difference between connecting to God and loving God and following God's ways? They're all basically the same idea of just being a good Jew. Isn't that what it's all saying? But then you see in the Rambam, halacha in the Rambam, separate mitzvah of the 613 mitzvot is one of halicha b'derchav, one of ahava, one of yira, one. And you ask yourself, what's going on? There must be differences between them. There must be differences. I remember when I first came to yeshiva, I was talking to someone not religious. When I was about to come to yeshiva, talking to someone religious, and they were trying to understand, like, what do we do in yeshiva? So they say, so you learn philosophy of God all day? I go, actually, you know, you could spend a good couple of years in yeshiva and not learn philosophy of God at all. And they're like, so what are you doing? Isn't it like a theological seminary where you like discuss the idea of God and of the creation? I say, sometimes in Shnai Mikra and Parshas Bereishis, it's kind of mentioned Derech Agav, which is like, by the way, but like, yeah, day to day we're not doing that. So I said, so what are you doing? So I said, well, this year we're doing Bava Kama, and in Bava Kama it's talking about damages, and they're like, you're doing law? It sounds like you're in law school. I was like, we're in God's law school. I'm trying to explain. They go, but they couldn't understand. But why would God involve himself in those matters? They're so mundane. That's not the place of God. God is more like spiritual things, not physical things. I said, from a Jewish perspective, everything in the world is part of God's world. And there's a godly way of relating to everything in the physical world. And therefore in yeshiva, we learn about very mundane things, but they're not mundane in yeshiva. Because although they could be mundane, they could be taken in a mundane way, but we learn about them to how God sees all those things. And all elements of the world become sanctified, become elevated, because you're seeing it from God's way. They were blown away. And I said, so what do you actually do in the day? And I started breaking up the day into different sections. And they asked a very sad question. They said, and when do you learn prayer? And I said, sometimes people don't learn prayer. And they said, but isn't that the main thing you do in yeshiva? Pray? And if you're learning, you're learning about what it means to connect to God and how to pray. So I said, we have Musa Seder, which speaks a lot about character refinement, not always about prayer. And I was listening to them, and I was saying, like, there's a problem here. I mean, they're right. They were wrong at the first point. They were wrong because they thought that God wasn't connected to the down-to-earth world. But they were right about the second point. We should be learning how to pray. It should be a major part of our schedule. In the same way we have a major part of our schedule, we devote ourselves to what does God want us to do. We should have a major part of our schedule. What does God want us to feel? How do we develop emotions? How do we develop feelings? And that's where this area of mitzvot comes in. Actually, God does. There's a whole area of emotions and feelings that we're supposed to be generating, refining, and working towards coming close to God. And in the same way, it's important to everyone in yeshiva that they see their progress after a year in yeshiva in their Gemara skills. It's also important for everyone in yeshiva to see their emunah, how it's developed, and how their davening is advanced. And if it's not, then they have to ask themselves and do a cheshbon nefesh. Well, have I done my job properly? I've come to yeshiva to be more godly Jew, to be more God-orientated. I do that through action of learning mitzvot and learning Gemara, God's way of the mundane world. Does that come though at the expense of learning how to connect to God directly? Or is that an innate part of what I'm doing here? And if a person does that, cheshbon nefesh, and they realize that's missing, then they should say, I need to reprioritize. Doesn't mean I have to change around my entire schedule. But I certainly must have a time in the day where these mitzvot, the heart-oriented mitzvot, emunah in Hashem, loving Hashem, yira Hashem, following God's ways in dveikus, are something which not only do you intellectually clarify and understand the chelukim between them, but also you seeing how it's being developed in you and where are you holding on each of these. Ideally, a person should make a kind of a circle, like a pie, and break it up into different sections. And on each mitzvah, from like 1 to 10, he should work out, where am I holding on this mitzvah? And if he thinks, at the point that he's holding now, after having done a little bit of research of what this is about, that on a certain topic he's like a 9 or a 10, then very good, there's always room to work, but you feel solid in that area. But if there's one of these areas which you feel like I'm a 2 or a 3, then it should be shouting out to you and saying, well, what am I doing here? We spoke at the beginning of the week, or last week, about everyone taking on a particular mitzvah. For those who haven't sent in to me the topic they're doing yet, so I'll just rephrase that. I would like everyone already today preferably, just to send in the topic. You don't have to send in the whole chabura yet, but just send in to me. You can do it by a message or an email. You can send in to me just the topic, what you've chosen. Tzitzis, whatever you've chosen, tefillin, whatever you've chosen. Whatever topic you choose, kashrus, whatever you choose, what you're going to research more. And I'm also throwing out another option, that it could definitely be one of these mitzvahs. Yirat Hashem, Ahavas Hashem, Dveikus with Hashem, Halicha B'Derochav, Emunah. That this is another list of topics which until now maybe we'd never an awareness of. That's worth reviewing and worth looking into. But now we have an awareness of as well. So if I can make a request for people sitting here and people watching over there and anyone who listens later, then please send in to me a text message just with a topic that you are choosing, even if you haven't done it yet. But just choose the topic and send in the topic to me by text message. You're going to be looking into preparing a chabur on. Yishar Koach.